Well, I'm joined once more today by Brian Hughes, who's well known to Phoenix FM listeners as a result of his regular legal briefs. But today he's here under a very different guise. So come on, Brian, tell us what's occurring.
Well, this year, Scott, marks the 400th anniversary of the sailing of the Mayflower, which incidentally was probably two separate words, the Mayflower, to America. And as a result, there are going to be many commemorative events taking place in Billericay.
So, because I thought the Mayflower sailed from Plymouth, so why all the fuss today and locally?
Well, you're sort of right. It's true that the last port from which it set sail was Plymouth, but the Mayflower, a 180-ton merchant ship, commenced its long voyage to America from Rotherhithe in London. 180 tons, incidentally, means that you could get 180 tons, T-U-N-S, or barrels or casks of wine on board, 252 gallons per barrel. And believe it or not, that, converted into pounds, hundredweights and tons, is still the basis of modern tonnage of all vessels. Anyway.
You could put people on there as well to drink it.
Yeah, well, the significance of that will come up later on, actually.
Right.
Anyhow, it put in at Lyon-Sea to pick up supplies and passengers from Essex.
More booze.
including four people from Billericay. Hmm. And then it sailed round to Southampton, where it met up with a ship called, optimistically, the Speedwell. Now, the Speedwell, a 60-ton vessel, had been hired by a number of separatists living in Leiden in Holland. And they were living there in exile because they couldn't accept the non-biblical practices of the Church of England. They wanted to settle in America for religious reasons. Puritans, by the way, on the other hand, wanted to reform the church from the inside. Mm-hmm. The two ships set sail for America from Southampton on the 5th of August, 1602, but the Speedwell almost immediately sprang a leak, and the two ships put in at Dartmouth to check the hull of the Speedwell. They set out once again after a few days on the long sea crossing, but a couple of weeks later, the Speedwell sprang another leak, and the two vessels were forced to head for the nearest English port, which happened to be Plymouth. It was decided that the Speedwell, which had been cleverly sabotaged by the Dutch government, wouldn't make it across the Atlantic. So the passengers on both vessels were given the option of staying in England, or if possible, boarding the Mayflower, which would make the journey on its own, with as many people as it could carry.
What on earth do you mean it was sabotaged by the Dutch government? Sounds a bit drastic.
The Dutch bribed Master Reynolds, the captain of the Speedwell, to add more sail to it by erecting two new larger masts. Now, these masts, ostensibly to provide more sail to assist it across the Atlantic, applied torque to the hull, and the excess strain caused thereby opened up the seams between the planks, causing the hull to leak. In order to prevent the Speedwell taking on water, it had to reduce sail and go very slowly.
So why did the Dutch government do that?
Well, they were intending to found their own settlement in what became New England and wanted to forestall any rival ventures and scupper the proposed English settlement there.
Oh, well, come to think of it, of course, New York was originally called New Amsterdam. So I guess the Dutch were as keen as the English on colonising America.
That's absolutely right. We tend to overlook the fact that many countries were keen to colonise the New World, not just the English, and sabotaging the Speedwell was par for the course. Bear in mind that the Mayflower carried 12 artillery pieces, as the pilgrims feared that they might need to defend themselves against enemy European forces, as well as the Indians.
So what happened next?
Well, there were two types of emigrant. The separatists, they were called the saints on the Speedwell, and what we would call the merchant adventurers, or strangers, on the Mayflower. And it was a matter of finding out how many of the merchant adventurers, or strangers, and their families wanted to remain in Plymouth, and how many separatists or saints they could squeeze in. In the end, the captain of the Mayflower, Christopher Jones, managed to pack in 99 people, three of whom were pregnant, and two dogs. They had to live in a dank, airless, claustrophobic space called the tween deck, between the hold and the ship's upper deck. It was some 55 feet long, 25 feet wide at its maximum point, and believe it or not, 4 feet, between 4 feet and 4 feet six inches in height. Now, you can just imagine how awful that must have been.
Diabolical. I would have thought awful.
Well, it's not surprising, actually, that some of the people who were out on the Mayflower for 2 weeks thought, we can't live in this space, and they wanted to get off.
I'm not surprised. So what about the people from Billericay?
Well, by the way, no plans exist for the Mayflower, but
really?
those measurements that I've just given you would have been standard, a standard size for a ship of its type. Mm. Well, about the people in Billericay, they stayed on board because Christopher Martin had become the ship's governor, treasurer, and victualler. He and his wife, Mary, had lived in Billericay with Solomon Prower, Christopher Martin's stepson, and his manservant, John Langmore. He'd owned three houses in the town and was a prosperous merchant. Being a bit of a wheeler-dealer, he'd persuaded the Merchant Adventurers Company in London to let him provision the Mayflower, and they provided the finance for him to do so. Money for beer, wine, hardtack, salted beef and pork, dried peas, oatmeal, probably milled in Billericay, fishing supplies, muskets, ordnance, clothing, tools, and trade goods for the Indians. And the amount, I believe, was £700, which was an awful lot of money in those days. He thought he could do well for himself in America, and he sold his three houses in Billericay, and pending the departure of the Mayflower, is believed to have rented the house opposite the church in Billericay High Street. You'll understand from what I've just said that you'll understand why the names Christopher Martin and Mayflower are much in evidence in Billericay and the surrounding area. We have a Mayflower school, Mayflower taxis, Mayflower Morrismen, and the town's flag depicts the Mayflower as a result of our historic link with the ship.
So tell us a bit more about the voyage.
Well, the ship set sail ultimately on the 16th of September, some 6 weeks later than originally planned. As a result, the favourable trade winds, which would have given them an easy passage, disappeared within a couple of weeks. The crossing of the Atlantic was therefore a miserable one, with huge waves constantly crashing against the ship's topside deck and at one point fracturing a key structural support timber. Now, the passengers who had already endured the awful conditions in the tween deck and suffered agonizing delays and shortages of cooked food were now called upon to provide assistance to the ship's carpenter in repairing the fractured main support beam. This was repaired with the use of a metal mechanical device called a jack screw, which had been loaded on board to help the construction of the settlers' homes. It was now used to secure the beam to keep it from cracking further, thus maintaining the seaworthiness of the vessel. It would otherwise have cracked apart. Vessel would have just broken up. There was a miraculous incident on board during the bad weather. A young man by the name of John Howland, who couldn't stand the stench in the tween deck, climbed up the ladder to stand on deck for a few minutes and was washed overboard. That should have been the end of him. But the topsail halyard was dangling over the side of the ship, and 2 feet underwater, he managed to catch hold of it and with one hand and didn't let go. Fortunately, some of the crew had seen him and hauled him back in. Howland's grateful descendants include U.S. Presidents Franklin D. Roosevelt, George H.W. Bush, and George W. Bush, also Sarah Palin, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Dr. Benjamin Spock, Humphrey Bogart, and the Mormon Church founder Joseph Smith.
Okay, he was busy, wasn't he? Incredible. Well,
he must have been breeding like mad.
Well, he must have been, yes. Obviously, the cold water didn't do him any harm. Now, despite all the difficulties, they actually made it to America.
Yes, on November the 9th, they sighted the present-day Cape Cod. They then spent some time trying to sail south to their planned destination, south of the Hudson River, where they'd obtained permission to settle from the Merchant Adventurers Company. But strong winter seas forced them to return to the harbour at Cape Cod, where they decided to settle, and where the surviving passengers drew up the Mayflower Compact, which was signed by Christopher Martin on behalf of himself and his family.
Now, when you say surviving passengers, I imagine that sickness as a result of the conditions that they had to endure must have been a problem.
although there weren't all that many deaths during the voyage itself, the passengers were obliged to stay on board during the winter because the ground was rock hard and little could be built on shore. They suffered an outbreak of contagious disease described as a mixture of scurvy, pneumonia, and tuberculosis. And when it ended, only 53 passengers were alive. That's just over half. Mm. And half the crew died as well. The Mayflower lay in New Plymouth Harbour through the winter of 1620-21 and then set sail for England on the 5th of April 1621, her empty hold ballasted with stones from the Plymouth Harbour shore. Christopher Martin and his entire family perished during the winter, but after he'd signed the Mayflower Compact, which was good, because it's one of the three documents underpinning the Constitution of the United States. As a result of this document, the signatories were called the Founding Fathers. And the Thanksgiving feast, after the survivors had had their first successful in November, has been incorporated into American culture as the Festival of Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving Day, 26th of November.
So what is happening locally to commemorate all these events?
We're promoting some 40 different events under the banner of Mayflower 2020, including a Taste of America, that's a food with quiz, this coming Saturday, a competition for the best...
Where is that taking place?
That's taking place in the Cannon Roche Hall.
Oh,
in
right.
Langdon
right.
Road. Yeah.
Right.
A competition for the best dress shop window, floral display in Lake Meadows, Jazz in the Park, concerts featuring American music, an American film week, school competitions, Cater Museum historical reenactment, a Merry England barn dance, Morris dancing, American square dancing, talks, lectures, and so on throughout the rest of the year. We've spaced it out over the year from the date that the pilgrims left Billericay.
Yeah.
A full printed programme has been published and details will appear at regular intervals in forthcoming magazines, newsletters, and on a number of notice boards throughout the town. They also appear on Facebook, Billericay Mayflower 2020, and on the Billericay Twinning Organisation's website, billericaytwinning.org.uk/Mayflower2020.
A website number that just a name that just rolls off the tongue.
It does, yeah. Yes. Mayflower 2020. Yeah, sounds right.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun, Brian.
Well, it should be, and we're hoping the whole town will be taking part in the various events.
Well, we'll be sticking everything up on the on our show page a little bit later on, including our chat with you today, and that link for the Twinning Org website and the other details as well.
So well, thank you very much.